You're listening to The Taylor Marshall Show, episode 40. Today I sit down with my wife Joy and we talk about our marriage and the two keys to having a happy and holy marriage. Plus we have the tip of the week, the Latin word of the week, and much more all in this week's podcast. And thank you for tuning in to the Taylor Marshall Show. This is the podcast for everyone who wants to create daily habits and learn enough theology to take their faith to the next level. And my goal this week is to share just two things that will help you have a peaceful and loving marriage. You know, marriage is under attack, and we all need to work together and give advice and support so that we can have healthy and happy marriages. Marriage is the primary icon of Christ in the church. We find that in St. Paul's in the New Testament. The relationship between a husband and a wife mirrors or reflects the love between Christ and the church. So if marriage suffers, we are not rightly depicting the mystery of Christ and human salvation, and that's a bad thing. Now, joining me this week, in much demand, many people have written, emailed, they've said, you talk about Joy all the time, when is she going to be on the podcast? Now, she is the co-host of the Ox Talk podcast, the New St. Thomas Institute, and if you're a member, you've heard her there, but this is the first time she's been on the Taylor Marshall Show, so welcome to the show, dear.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Okay, so we're going to talk about our marriage today. Be a little vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Let people see what really goes on behind the mic. You know, a lot of people think that because I get on the mic every week and talk about, you know, controlling our passions and praying and reading the scriptures and all that, that I must just be this really saintly, calm person all the time. And you, as my wife, know that that's not really the case, right?
Right. But, you know, you put up with a lot as well.
So we're going to talk about our struggles, how we met, talk about our marriage a little bit, and then share the two key things that married couples have to remember and have to consider when they're in this great vocation, right? This great sacrament of holy matrimony. Now, usually at this point, we begin with the joke. But I think we have so much to cover this week, and this is going to be such an exciting topic. We're just going to skip the jokes. So jokes will come back next week. I've been getting some pretty good feedback on the jokes. I know they get cheesy at some times, but it's good humor. But we'll defer that to next week. But I do want to begin with our proverb of the week.
Okay.
And the proverb of the week is Proverbs chapter 5, verse 18, and it goes like this: "May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth," end quote. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. You know, I think it's been a blessing to be married to Joy. We were just kids when we got married. And I like how in this verse, dear, how it talks about may your fountain be blessed. Because a fountain is where water flows. Mm-hmm. If there's no water, there's death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to have water to have life. And here it relates marriage with a blessed fountain. And I just love that image because it's like water bubbling up out of the earth and, you know, becoming a stream or a river where life happens. And that's what marriage is. Marriage is this fountain, this source of life. So may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 18. Okay, so let's get down to the nitty-gritty. All right, so we met when we were seniors in college.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Nate is your cousin.
Yes.
And do you want to tell the listeners how the whole thing happened? We met on a blind date.
It was a blind date. We were really what I guess you could call wingmen or wingwomen.
Yeah, we were the wingmen. So Nate wanted to go out with your friend.
Right, at Baylor.
Yes. Joy went to Baylor. I went to Texas A&M.
Where Nate went. And so he wanted to make it less formal.
Yep, so he wanted to go out with your friend, Emily.
Uh-huh.
And he wanted to make it less formal, so he asked me, his friend, if I would go on a double date with him so he could go out with Emily. And then he was going to arrange for me to go out with his cousin, mm-hmm. Joy. Mm-hmm. So that's how it happened. So we were helping Nate out.
Right. I was pretty, honestly, indifferent about being set up on a date at the time.
I was kind of too. Nate was like, oh yeah, she's really beautiful. You're going to love her. I'm like, yeah, this is just a guy trying to get me to go out with his cousin so he can go out with her friend. I'll do him the favor.
Yeah, well, you were a good friend because as people always want to know what happened to Nate and Emily.
Oh yeah, they got married.
And they got married.
Yeah, they have lots of kids.
They have
several.
It's an awesome thing to happen.
Yep. So Nate and Emily, if you're listening, thanks for having a date and inviting us on it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when Nate and I drove from Texas A&M College Station to Baylor, and we knocked on your door, and you opened the door, mm-hmm. and you kind of smiled and waved and said, oh, hi, Nate, and then you ran upstairs, I think, where Emily was also, and mm-hmm. Nate and I were just in the living room, and I thought you were really beautiful. I was like, oh, wow, I hope that's my date. Because I'd never seen you. This is like before Facebook or really the internet. Like you couldn't just like Google people or go on Facebook and see, you know, what their favorite music was or mm-hmm. what they looked like. So I turned to Nate. I was like, is that my date or yours? He's like, that's yours. I'm like, all right, great. This is good. We went to a Christmas concert. Mm-hmm. You were wearing a purple sweater, a black skirt,
mm-hmm.
purple shoes. They're like...
They were black shoes.
They were black shoes?
Yes.
They had a purple ribbon on them?
I don't think so.
Yeah, like kind of ballet flats though, right?
Yes, yes.
You looked very pretty. I can't remember what I was wearing. I'm sure something pretty cool.
Very.
And we had a great day. We went to Italian dinner so at some little rinky-dink place there in Waco, Texas.
Uh-huh.
And we went to the Christmas concert, which was like, what was it? It was a symphony, wasn't it?
I think it's choral and symphony.
Yeah, choral.
Big traditional thing they do at Baylor every year.
And I can't remember because I was just so infatuated by you.
Well, thank you, sweetheart.
So that was our first date. And then our second date was a few weeks later. And again with Nate and Emily.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really digging on you at that point.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had a lot of similar interests. Yep. I was very interested in my faith and different things I was learning about theology at the time.
Right.
You were aspiring, like very openly aspiring to go study at a seminary. And that was a huge...
We were Protestants for the new mm-hmm. listeners. We were not yet Catholic. I remember on our second date, I remember you talking about a paper you had written about John Milton and his Arianism, the heresy of Arianism.
Mm-hmm.
I was pretty impressed by that. And then you also brought up apostolic succession. You don't remember that, but I remember it. And I was like, whoa, this girl's deep. I like her. Deep and beautiful, right? Profound. So I remember at the end of that date, I said, you know, I'm going to be going to seminary after I graduate. You live in Waco. I live in College Station, Texas. That's about an hour and a half drive. Are you serious about marriage? I mean, this was like...
Yeah, you didn't mess around.
I didn't mess around.
I have interests that go towards marriage immediately.
Yeah. Like, I didn't just want to date a girl, like, drive all over Texas just for fun. Like, I was going to Texas. I mean, I was going to seminary.
Yes.
And, as Protestants, you can be married. So I was like, and I wanted to find an awesome wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I found you, and I was like, so I was... That was kind of bold.
I was surprised at the time. I was kind of... floored that you would be so forward with your intentions that early.
And just for clarity for those listening, I didn't ask her to marry me.
No.
I just said, hey.
Are you interested in marriage? Yeah, are you interested in marriage and do you like me?
Yeah.
You know?
Do you want to actually pursue in that direction?
Because
I was going to be shipping out in a few months
to
Philadelphia.
And honestly, while I was super surprised, I was impressed because I had been friends with a lot of guys during college and none of them ever spoke with that kind of determination and sincerity And so I was really surprised, but impressed.
Good. Okay. So that was good. I'm glad it happened. So, and then I went off to seminary and we continued to correspond. And at one point you came up to visit to see the seminary, see what I was doing. And it was on that trip. You came up with my parents. My parents came up. Mm-hmm. And you piggybacked, and then you came up. And I remember when you left, I thought, oh, I want to be with her forever. Mm-hmm. You know, like, this is the deal. I got to go buy a ring and ask her to marry me. So then it was that December, which was that a year later? A year after we met?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a year after we met. And we were apart for a good bit of that time because I was already in seminary. But I came back into town. I bought the ring. Do you remember how I proposed to you? Of course you do. Mm-hmm. Hope so.
Yes. Yes, you knelt down.
Yep, knelt down. We went and looked at Christmas lights. I got a limo.
Uh-huh, you wanted.
And we were going into like a really nice neighborhood to look at Christmas lights.
Uh-huh, you like to do special things like that.
Yep, and then we opened the top of the limo where you could like stand up. You know, what movie was that in where people were like standing up out of a limo? I don't know. We were doing that. We were driving around the neighborhood. We were standing out the top of the limo, looking at all the Christmas lights.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the time was right, I got on one knee. So I went down in the limo. You were still standing up out of the limo.
Mm-hmm.
And I pulled the ring out and had a little speech and said, what are you doing? And you said yes.
Yes, I did.
That was great.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we met. And we've been married. We just celebrated last week. 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
I realize that people listening to this have been married 20, 30, 40, even 50 plus years.
Mm-hmm. We're still pretty new.
Yeah, we're still pretty young.
We've been busy, but...
Yeah, I mean, we have 7 kids. It's
mm-hmm.
got a lot of mileage on that, but
yeah.
But we're still pretty young in our marriage, 13 years. But I think we have a great marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to people I know and stories I hear, we love each other a lot. We have a lot of fun with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a good attitude about our marriage, and we spend a lot of time with each other. So we're going to talk a little bit about how it is to that we have a holy and happy marriage.
Yes.
Okay, so...
Things that we have learned.
Yeah. And so there's two things, really. I mean, when people ask me or Joy or both of us, these are the two things that we always say. In fact, I would say, well, there's a lot of things, but these two things... If you get these right, you're gonna be on the right track.
Right.
Okay. So which one you want to start off with, Drew?
Let's start with sleep.
Okay, sleep. So you might be surprised to hear that we're leading off with sleep, but we really think that sleep is it number one?
It's crucial.
Man,
we get really irrational when we don't value and protect our sleep.
Yeah, I mean. I think every fight and argument that you and I have ever had first began with one of us, or sometimes both of us, just being really tired.
Yes, but the problem is we don't realize it immediately.
That's right.
At first, we have a real bone to pick.
Yeah, you're like thinking, like, man, she's being such a jerk. Why is she being so insensitive? And you just like start getting in this loop in your mind.
And you start thinking about all the times they've done that.
Oh, yeah, you start. You get out your laundry list, you know, you get out your Excel spreadsheet, and you start like listing it out and making mm-hmm. this huge case in your mind about the other person.
Yes, all the times that they have done this, made you feel like this, and why that they're just, you know, it's a losing battle. Yeah. All of that, and then you're just, okay, I've got to say something.
Yeah, and then and then when you say something, it's not going to be good, right?
No, but for some reason, you do.
Yeah, right.
I mean, especially when it's over relatively minor things.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. So I think especially with the kids, I remember at one point, this was with baby number 6, so this is when Blaze was born.
Okay.
And he was about 4 or 5 months old. And, you know, we were kind of getting at each other some, like, you know, let's just go talk to Father. Mm-hmm. We went up to our parish, we talked to our priest, kind of laid everything out. He kind of, like, smiled, like, grinned. And, you know, he's like, you guys love each other. He's like, how long ago was your baby born? Because he had baptized the baby. And, like, about 4.5 months ago. And he just smiled. And he's like, that's how all Catholics are. Like, the first 5 or 6 months, you just kind of get all grumpy and upset with each other because you just had a baby. And mom's not sleeping. Maybe dad's not sleeping. Usually it's mom's not sleeping. And you have, you know, if you have an illness with the other kids or anything.
All the normal stresses are still there in your life.
That's right.
But you also have this lack of sleep.
Yeah. And so let's just say you're like losing 1 hour of sleep per night. That doesn't seem like that much. I'll catch up with that. Times 7 days, that's 7 hours. That's like losing
almost a night of
sleep. A night a week. And then in a month, that's 4 nights. And honestly, like with a new baby, it's not just 1 hour.
No, it's and you never, a lot of times you don't necessarily get into that deep sleep.
Yeah, that's right.
That you need.
Yeah, so you may have slept 6 hours, but it could have been a two, an interruption, a one, an interruption, and a two. So you're just really tired. And so, you get into the scorekeeping.
Yes.
In your mind. And building
he's sleeping cake. More than me or whatever.
Right.
Why isn't she keeping up with things? And you
yeah,
know.
Like why is the house... She never cleans the house anymore. You know, it's like been 2 months after the baby. You know, or like, we haven't had a hot meal, you know. And you start, you know, and thinking these things.
Yes. And you just start keeping score.
Yeah. And then so when one person's, you know, throws out their bomb, well, the other person has been keeping score as well. He's like, well, how about this bomb? And you just kind of keep throwing grenades until someone's crying and it's bad and not good. So sleep is really key. And in fact, I think even as a parent with our kids, like we can see, I think with our first child, we just like disciplined a lot. As we started having more and more kids, as we got to like baby number 5, 6, and 7, you realize that it's not kids necessarily just always being bad and willful. It's they're tired.
Yeah, we should just put them to bed. Don't interact.
Just go to bed. And you know, we even, you know, I don't even like sleepovers or anything like that. I think everybody should be sleeping in their own bed because when kids go out and stay up with their friends, even if they're teenagers, they come back on Sunday. Or, I mean, they're just going to be zonked. They're going to be in a bad attitude. I think a lot of just teenage rebellion is these kids are tired.
Yeah, they're staying up. They're way over exercising all this freedom that they're being given.
They've got different new curfews. They're staying up later. And they're doing all these sports, and they're growing, right? And they're exhausted. So I think fatigue is something, especially here in America, where we're like go 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 all the time. Fatigue wears us out, and it has a detrimental effect on our physical health, but also our mental health.
Yes, I mean, for some reason, what reasons you have for your behaviors don't occur to me anymore. Mine. Supersede that, and it's really becomes irrational.
Yeah.
And so, and then finally, once we realize, like, we typically love each other, we typically get along great. I genuinely just am passionate about this person. Why am I so upset? You know, is this any different? And usually, if I take a step back, I'm like, I think, you know, all of this would almost completely go away if we just went to sleep right now and got in a better frame of mind.
Right.
The negative is far outweighing what positives we see in our relationship.
I think that's one of the differences that from us as a couple now, as opposed to 13 years ago. So when we were first married, you know, people said, don't let the sun go down your anger. So if you were upset and it was like 10:30 PM, like, why are you upset? And then you get into this thing and you're tired and you just keep going, 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 and you get into a worse fight. I think now
you feel like you want to root out any problems.
Yeah. I think now, you know, over 10 years later, I think you probably think he's just tired. He needs a, or I think she just needs to get some sleep. She was up with the kids last night or whatever. And I think, and oftentimes when we're in starting to get into a little skirmish, you know, one of us will say, I'm just really tired, or I just think you're tired, or whatever.
Just go to bed.
Yeah, just go to bed.
Yes, and which, I mean, it's kind of like when somebody tells you, you don't want to gloss over if there's issues, but a lot of times that kind of sleep depravity can just take away your joy and your gratitude. It's not so much that all of a sudden they've developed this terrible issue, it's just that you can no longer have joy in them and have the gratitude of being their spouse. You're just focused on the negative, and because you just cannot look up from your own fatigue, or your mind is weary, your body's weary. And whenever there's, no matter who you marry, you know, there's not, no one's perfect, but you marry that person as they are. But when those things all of a sudden become intolerable, just kind of out of the blue, something else might be wrong.
Yeah, it's your perception.
It's your perception, mm-hmm. Yeah, because yeah. You married them like that. They're not right. All of a sudden...
Yeah, they didn't like change 24 hours ago and just make you so angry. Mm-hmm. You know, another thing you said there that I think is really important, it's not, you know, on our show notes here, but gratitude for your spouse. Mm-hmm. You know, on this podcast, we talk a lot about the importance of gratitude. And often when I get discouraged or angry, you often tell me, hey, what are you thankful for? Mm-hmm. You know, what are you grateful for? What are God's blessings? And sometimes I don't want to do that, but that's the right direction because it always brings me out of discouragement into, you know, a sense of gratitude and joy. But I think being grateful for your spouse. Mm-hmm. God chose this person custom for you. Mm-hmm. He knew all the little faults and sins that you struggle with, and somehow this person is supposed to sanctify you and help you become a saint.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, this particular person, I mean, some people don't, you know if there's a particular person, but I mean, I believe in God's providence that he brought me you. So all of your temperament, all of your predispositions, all of that is part of who I fell in love with and said, yes, I bond myself permanently to you through our Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever issues arise from, you know, your personality, that's not grounds for me ever walking away.
Right.
That's not grounds for me even holding a temper or being mad at you for even an hour about it. I mean, I love
I'm glad
that.
We just recorded that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I can't. I mean, there, you know, you can be, we definitely get upset at different things at times. But a lot of times knowing that you work hard, you love me, you value me, you put the children and I before yourself in so many ways. If I start forgetting that and neglecting recognizing that, it might be my perception, mm-hmm. And not, you know, that you've changed and that you're
right. And that kind of brings us to the second point. Mm-hmm. So the second point, when we were first married, there was a couple, the Sharbachs, who were a big influence on us. Al and Abby. Hey, if you're listening.
Hi, Al and Abby. Precious.
Yeah. Precious wonderful people. Family. They were really like our mentors in our first year of marriage. Mm-hmm. And he was an Episcopalian priest. Or he became an Episcopalian priest. I became an Episcopalian priest. Mm-hmm. And he just became a Catholic priest. Mm-hmm. So Father Sharbach now. And I remember them sitting us down at some point and saying, hey, the key to having a good marriage is being kind mm-hmm. to each other. Charitable. And that sounds so basic, just like sleep. But this principle is looking at the other person with the best intentions.
Mm-hmm. Not, well, they just forgot me or they are doing this or, you know, they are neglecting me. They never put me forward. Instead, you think, you know, they were probably taking care of the other things that is part of their vocation. And so that, you know, got overlooked or something, you know, and mm-hmm. knowing that they would do the best for you at all moments, if that was humanly possible, but sometimes things get, in the way.
Right.
And so always viewing that they would do the very best for you.
And assuming the best intentions on their part.
Yeah, exactly.
Not that they're trying to do something malicious.
Exactly.
And especially if you're tired, but even in general, sometimes when you see something, you can color it and perceive it as something malicious. Mm-hmm. When in reality it has nothing to do with that. Mm-hmm. So I kind of want to bring up here, if you're okay with it, dear, our last squirmish. Our last little fight.
Our beach spat.
Our beach spat. So, Joy and I just got back from vacation. We are in beautiful South Carolina. We went to the beach with the kids and with my...
Long road trip.
Long road trip. Two days in the van.
There.
Both ways. Mm-hmm. And we were with my brother and his wife, my sister and her husband and my parents. And it was a great time. And by the way, some people emailed me about beaches this summer and modesty and whatnot, and I really want to commend South Carolina as a great place to go to the beach. You know, it's not like going to like spring break with all sorts of like immodest thong
bikinis.
That's
why we like it so much. Yeah. It's a very family-friendly atmosphere. There's very few occasions for sin, I think, for young boys or for young girls. You know, it's a good place. That's why we like to go there.
Yeah, modest swimwear and
just mainly family atmosphere.
Families. Yeah, mm-hmm. Building sandcastles and not like real exotic, strange things happening. So that's good. So that was a little side commercial. South all the listeners in South Carolina.
I'm sure there's other beaches like that. If you know of one, leave a comment.
Yeah, leave a comment. So anyway, we were in South Carolina with the family, and one night we went out to a nice dinner, and I remember I had shrimp and grits, fried green tomatoes, all that great Southern American food, you know, deep South.
Low country.
Low country, yeah, low country eating. And it was a great meal, and it was with, again, my parents, my sister and her husband, my brother, and his wife, and Joy and myself.
The adults were out for
it. It was just the adults. The kids were back. And so we had a great meal together, shrimp and grits. Did I mention the shrimp and grits?
Yeah.
Love shrimp and grits. So good. And then at the end of the meal, Joy is like, let's walk home on the beach. Now, earlier that day, I had run on the beach about 4 miles. And so I knew where the restaurant was in location to where we were staying. And I knew it was pretty far, about 2 miles. And I was tired, and we were having a good time with my family, and we all drove together, and I wanted to drive back with them and not walk on the beach all the way home. And my family was like, oh, no, come on, come with us. Don't walk on the beach. And so I was, and Joy was like,
some of my favorite memories have been walking home on the beach from that place and just seeing the stars. There was like a full moon.
Yeah, so Joy's like, well, let's walk on the beach. I'm like, no, we're good. She's like, I really want to walk on the beach. Like, no, let's go home with my family. She's like, I can walk home by myself. And I'm like, I'm not going to let her walk home at night on a beach. I have to go with her. And I'm like, I think even at one point, I remember, like, don't push it, Joy. You know, and then my sister-in-law's like, oh, you guys, you know, she's like trying to like mediate it and make it like, we're kind of like having this like silent spat, like, no, like, we're not going to the beach. Yes, we are. And Joy, she was a little frustrated at something at dinner. So, she, you know, you said later, like,
I just wanted to get out and have some air and relax before going to bed and have
just
time
clear your head. And like looking back on it, so silly, because you know, if you're listening, walking on the beach at night with your soulmate, you know, hand in hand is like what everybody wants to do. And beautiful. So we're getting into a little kerfuffle here. Is that the right word, kerfuffle?
Go with it.
Okay, we're in a little kerfuffle here over walking home on the beach. I don't want to do it. She wants to do it. So finally, you know, you kind of trumped me by saying, well, I can walk home, you know, on the beach myself. I'm like, well, I can't let my wife walk home at night. So I'm like, fine, we'll walk home on the beach. And so we're walking on the beach, and I'm pretty ticked. I'm not talking.
It wasn't romantic.
I'm kind of frustrated. And we finally, you know, we get home, and I realize I'm pretty tired. We had just driven 2 days, stayed in like a not so great hotel. We hadn't had a lot of sleep. You know, when you have like 7 kids, they haven't slept so well. They're wanting to get in bed with you. They're in a new place. So we're just tired.
And we've been going once we got there, because we're, you know, when you're at a new place, you're excited to be there. And
I ran just 4 miles on the beach, which was way more than I should have done, and I was not feeling good. And then I came down with a cold the next day, which you can still hear in me a little bit. So I was like, I'm tired. I'm just going to bed, you know. But then the next day, you know, it kind of came out. We started, you know, talking about it. And I perceived Joy wrongly. I was not kind. I perceived like, hey, we're having this great time with my family, and she wants to buck the system.
I wanted to throw off this.
Yeah, the Marshall.
The Marshall thing going on.
You know,
on.
Like, why isn't she just being a Marshall? She married into the Marshall. She just needs to, like, be a Marshall and go with the flow of the Marshall outing that night.
Yes.
You know, and Joy wasn't thinking that at all. She was just thinking, hey, I want to have a romantic time on the beach and clear my head and go for a walk.
Yeah.
Take off my sandals, hold in my hand. You know, we could hold hands and just stroll down the beach for half hour, 45 minutes. Finally back to our place. And
we had it out a little bit, but then we finally were like, you know, sweetheart.
Once we kind of started getting into it, I think, was it you maybe? It was like, why, you know,
why is this even happening?
Yeah, why is this a
big
deal?
We never even have these kind of issues.
Yeah.
You know, it's not something we typically don't throw down. Like, no, I'm not going to be like this with your family. Or, no, I'm not going to be, you know, this is never an issue. Why is
I think it's just because we were tired, and then we started imputing malice. or not being kind. Like, we had our own perspective on the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of me thinking, oh, Joy just wants to have a romantic stroll with me,
mm-hmm.
which would be the, like, right perception, I thought Joy's trying to buck the marshal.
Or win. Like, I
yeah,
just
or, like, win or something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because I was tired or, you know, I was just not being mm-hmm. a good person.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the same way...
And once you start making those accusations, I mean, whenever you said that, I was just like, what? You
right.
know, you start, then you like, it feels like you've got to then counter that, you know, it just becomes a big thing.
It's like a tennis match.
It's a tennis match all of a sudden. It's like, that was not in my mind, but then, you know, well, how about this?
You know? Right.
And so it was completely unnecessary.
Yeah, it was silly.
And
looking back on it now, I think... Really, it was kind of goes back to key number one, lack of sleep.
Yeah, we were tired, we were testy, we were pushing the boundaries on each other's abilities,
right.
myself included.
Yeah.
You didn't want to. I probably should just chilled out and hope for another time that week. But, you know, you get willful or you get
mm-hmm.
stubborn whenever you're tired.
Yep. So those are the two keys.
Yeah, those
pretty
are good
basic.
To start out on.
And they kind of go together. Get some sleep, you know, value your sleep, make a discipline. You know, maybe you've been listening to this podcast from day one and you know about the Moleskine journal. Get your Moleskine journal out and write down your sleep strategy. How many hours are you going to do every night? In a previous podcast, I think it was episode 38, we talked about budgeting your time. Part of budgeting your time is budgeting sleep time.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your policy? Are you a 8 hour, 9 hour, 10 hour? What is your sleep policy? And then how are you going to ensure that that happens?
Mm-hmm.
That means if someone says, hey, let's go see a movie at 9 p.m. that doesn't get out till 11 p.m. and it's Saturday night and you got church in the morning, that means it's a big, you're not going.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
mm-hmm.
your policy and you got to stick to it.
Yeah. I mean, because there's so much fun to be had at times, but whenever you have a family to be there for, a spouse to be consistent and loving towards, and all the other responsibilities, excuse me, on top of it, it's just something that we sometimes underestimate influences our behavior.
Yeah. And as parents with seven kids, and all the different, you know, wheels moving and the gears and all that, you got to be rested.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you're going to start getting angry at the kids.
Mm-hmm. You're going to see them in the same lack of charity,
right.
lack of...
This child's so ungrateful. This child always does... That's another thing. Anytime you start saying, like Joy said the other night, if you say you never or you always, that's pretty much a guarantee that you're in that negative, malicious, tired, right?
Yes.
You never do this or you always do this.
Mm-hmm.
That's... You're in irrationality land.
Yes. You just should stop there
yeah.
and go to bed.
Stop there and go to bed. Yeah. Get some sleep.
Then buy flowers the next morning.
Yeah, exactly. And then get some flowers. So, okay, well, there it is. Hey, do you have some keys? Is there something else? And Joy and I are going to continue this kind of like as a series.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we'll do it next podcast, but we're going to do some more of these marriage talks. In the future, I think it'd be great to do one on how to meet a godly spouse.
Mm-hmm.
What are the criteria you should look for? Because I realize not everyone who listens to this podcast is married. There are many people who are single. There are many people who are younger and they have a sense of a vocation to marriage, but they haven't met that right person yet.
Mm-hmm. And they want to know what to look for.
Yeah.
And I think that can be really
And how tricky. To strategize even,
mm-hmm.
if I can use that word. So I think we're going to do that in the future. So if you're interested in that, subscribe to this podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes or just go to taylormarshall.com and click on weekly podcast. And there's instructions there. So you subscribe, you'll get it every Wednesday. That way you won't miss that future episode. And then I think we'll talk about some other things too. But if you're listening and you're like, you know, here, we've been married 50 years. Maybe you're listening like these young pups. They don't even know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
I've been married 58 years. We want to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
Leave us a comment. You can also go into SpeakPipe, which is on the podcast page, and you can leave a voicemail. Maybe we'll feature, if you've got some great advice, maybe we'll feature you in a future podcast. We'll play your recording on your advice. So we do want to hear from you, the audience, because we realize that we're still pretty young. We've only been married 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to hear advice from other people.
Yes.
And maybe you've had experience in this as well. Like, yeah, every time we get tired, we fight. Or here's what we mm-hmm. do to prevent that. We want to hear that also.
Yes.
So leave a comment.
Yeah, we realize we're newbies, but we definitely have a couple things that we feel like we've learned as general rules for us, and we'd like to share them when we can. But we'd love to hear from other people.
Yeah, and like we said at the very beginning of the show, we all need to work together to help each other's marriages. Like, mm-hmm. we're in crisis, right? There are very few models around today who have lived these wonderful, what I call marathon marriages, where they've gone 60 years nonstop,
mm-hmm.
and they've really set the banner and the standard for all of us. So we need to hear more about that kind of awesome long-term perseverance in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're going to move on to the tip of the week. It's related to marriage, but before we do, we've got just a couple announcements here. First of all, I am totally pumped and excited about New St. Thomas Institute. I am more excited about the New St. Thomas Institute than I ever have been. There's some really amazing things happening. There's currently a waiting list to join the New St. Thomas Institute. It's grown and grown and grown, and we want to limit the size for now. And so there's a waiting list to join the New St. Thomas Institute, and I think the last time I checked, there's over 300 people on the waiting list. And we are going to send everyone on the waiting list a personal special invite to join the New St. Thomas Institute at a reduced price next Monday, June 30th. So if you're on the waiting list, mark that on your calendar, look for that email. If you're not on the waiting list, but you want to join the New St. Thomas Institute, my fear is if you don't join the waiting list, you're just not going to get in. It's going to fill up. So go to newstthomas.com and scroll down just a couple inches and you'll see the form there. Enter your email address and that'll put your first name and your email address. That'll put you on the waiting list. Our team will send you an email to confirm it. And then you will get an email on Monday before everybody else so that you can join. Also, we have a new podcast at New St. Thomas Institute, Ox Talk Radio. We gave a sample of it last week. Joy's the co-host on that, and that's been going great. We just recorded, it just came out today, the Ox Talk podcast. It's, is God male or female? What does the Catholic Church teach? What does Thomas Aquinas teach? Very controversial, mm-hmm. but very illuminating.
It was a lot of fun to learn about that during that radio or that podcast.
Some of the answers are going to surprise you, mm-hmm. but it's going to give you everything you need to answer that question, whether you're in college or your kids have asked it or you have family members who have left the faith and they're challenging you on, you know, is God really a man or a male? You know, is that misogynist? What about feminist theology? Mm-hmm. We tackle that in this Ox Talk podcast, which is only available for the New St. Thomas Institute members. So that came out today, Tuesday. Is God male or female? So there's a lot of great things. We also have a new friending element in New St. Thomas Institute, kind of like a Facebook and groups. So lots of new content, lots of new features. I'm excited about it. We got people in over 24 nations.
Mm-hmm.
Over 1,000 people have been in there just learning and mm-hmm. watching the videos and listening to things and getting the notes. It's really cool.
Yeah, the new website overhaul has made it really easy to navigate, find the content, find what's there, all that's helpful to so many. So I'm enjoying it too.
Good. Great.
As a member.
All right, so tip of the week. Tip of the week is pray out loud with your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's interesting. I read, this is the only time you're going to ever hear me quote Dr. Phil on my podcast. Mm-hmm. You know Dr. Phil, the Oprah guy?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So Dr. Phil said, and I can't remember the stat, so I'm going to kind of make it up, but it's something ridiculous, that the number one criterion for a successful marriage without divorce is praying out loud with your spouse. In fact, for people who pray out loud with their spouse, it's something like they are 100 times less likely to divorce than people who don't pray with their spouse out loud. And the key here is out loud.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to pray out loud with your spouse. And so Dr. Phil, who's not a Catholic, I don't even, you know, kind of just more of a New Age
worldview,
you know,
uh-huh.
he's like, look, the science is in.
They've done studies.
The best thing you can do is not go on a vacation or go on a date. All those things are great.
Mm-hmm.
The number one thing is pray with your spouse out loud every day. that surprise you?
No. Well, the Bible says when two or three are gathered together, and I think that he will pour out his grace on those that do mm-hmm. that. And what better way than in the sacrament of holy matrimony?
Mm-hmm. We don't always do it, but I like, you know, like at night when we're in bed, just kind of reach over, grab your hand, mm-hmm. and say a prayer.
Mm-hmm. Offer up our needs.
Because it reveals to both of you that God is in your marriage. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. explicit. Because yes. you're both talking to him out loud. Mm-hmm. It's powerful. Mm-hmm. So if you're not doing it, suggest it to your spouse and start praying out loud. Okay, Latin word of the week is matrimonium. Matrimonium. It comes from two words, mater, which means mother, and monium, which is a suffix signifying an action state or condition. It could also derive from the word for gift, but it probably is referring to a state or condition. Literally, matrimonium means the state of being a mother.
Oh.
So when you enter into matrimony, it implies that the woman's becoming a mom.
Interesting.
This is great because in our culture, which is, you know, pushing same-sex marriage, same-sex marriage does not produce a mom. Two men can't produce a mom. Two women can't make a mom. Mm-hmm. Matrimonium includes the idea of conception of a baby. Mm-hmm. This also rules out contraception. Mm-hmm. So this is the most Catholic idea of under. That's why I like to say matrimony more than I like marriage, mm-hmm. because matrimony has this idea of motherhood built into it. So there you go. Use that one at your next cocktail party. Like, hey, Latin word, matrimonium means the state of being a mother, or sometimes the gift of motherhood. That's what true matrimony is.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Okay, and also, as usual, we have the gift offer for you. If you go to taylormarshall.com, you get a free book. Just go to taylormarshall.com in the upper right-hand corner. You'll get my free book, Thomas Aquinas, in 50 pages. A download, you get it right there, doesn't cost anything. And it's time for the shout-outs. Before we close down here, we got some shout-outs. While we were gone on vacation, I hadn't looked at it for a while, I realized we hit 200 five-star reviews for this podcast on iTunes.
That is so generous of people.
That is awesome of you guys. Like, you guys don't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all have gone over, you take your own time, you know, it probably takes 30 seconds to a minute. You go over to iTunes, you open it up,
mm-hmm.
and you write something nice, and you leave a five-star review. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much to all 200-plus of you that have gone over there now and left a review. What's great about that is it helps people find this podcast in iTunes. And I think I want to give a shout-out to these people who pushed us over 200. You want to read these, Derek?
Yeah, can I read them? We've got Happy Catholic says, I really enjoy listening to the podcast while I do my daily housework. Thanks for all you do.
Cool.
So do I. That's when I listen to the podcast.
So yeah. You listen to the podcast while you're vacuuming? And
I couldn't hear it very well over the vacuum, but cleaning dishes and whatnot, I totally do it.
Cool.
To G. McFly, Thomistic wisdom broken down into manageable portions and delivered with a soothing Texas drawl to make you a better person.
All right.
That's a great.
Yeah, G. McFly from Back to the Future. Awesome. With a soothing Texas drawl.
All right, y'all, let's go on.
All right, y'all.
Grindr says, awesome podcast and great Christ-honoring content. And Robert Kenneth says, I like this podcast such that I created an Apple ID account in order to give it a 5-star rating.
Wow, thank you, Robert. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Again, that's generosity of the listeners there. King Wolf, thanks for what you do. The Time Budget podcast could not have come at a better time for me. Exactly what I needed. Truly a godsend. Continue your work and may God bless you.
Awesome. You know, I sometimes mention this in the podcast, but like when I recorded the Time Budget mm-hmm. podcast, which tons of people have written and they've loved that podcast. After I recorded that, I was like, that wasn't a very good one. Like, man, I was kind of like dogging on myself. Like, I need to do better podcasts. But so many people liked it. So it just kind of shows that God does his deal.
Yes. Yeah. We're going to go with what he leads. And then Eileen, I really enjoy listening to Dr. Taylor Marshall. It's wonderful to continue getting educated and well-researched points of view for our Catholic faith. Keep up the great work. Peace and blessings to you and your family. Thank you so much. As part of his family, it really does. It's a blessing to me, too, to read
Thank you. Yeah, I just got an email today from a lady who's like, I'm praying for your family. It just means the world to me. So thank all of you. Y'all are all so generous. Thanks for pushing us over 200 five-star reviews. Wow. I never thought we'd see 200. That's amazing. So thank you so much. That really means the world to me. And if you haven't left a rating and you want to, thanks so much. I really appreciate it. Just go to iTunes and you can subscribe there and you can leave a rating. And if you don't think it's a five-star, maybe you think it's only a three-star, leave a three-star. Of course, we always like the five stars, but...
Or just go ahead and leave a five-star. Yeah.
Or if you wanted to, you know, whatever. Just be honest. You know, do whatever you think it is. And so thanks for listening. And Joy, thanks for being on this episode.
I hope it was helpful for some people. Thank you for being my spouse and persevering with me.
Love you. All right. Well, hey, thanks for listening. I hope this is beneficial. You know, maybe listen to this with your spouse and share it with others. Share it with other people who are married, who maybe need some encouragement or some advice. And talk it over with your friends and family. You can share it on Facebook or on Twitter, however you want. Or you can email it to people. So again, thanks for listening. Thanks for all your generosity. We love all you listeners. You mean the world to us. So thanks so much. And remember, our Lord Jesus Christ said that you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty.